for those who are here who do not know how to have forever life, or who have been unconcerned about it. We pray Thy Holy Spirit might speak to them now, and they might see the truth of the Word of God that gives them eternal life simply by trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. If you remember last Sunday morning, we were talking about the first 9 verses of this chapter, and we saw there that Abraham is an example of salvation in the Old Testament along with David. Remember, we pointed out that David lived 500 years, approximately 500 years after Moses. Abraham lived 500 years before Moses. Now, Moses was the one who gave us the Ten Commandments, and along with the other 110 that he got on Mount Sinai, plus 600 others that he got later on. Moses gave us 720 commandments altogether. And these 720 commandments make up actually all the commandments that a person has to do, or if a person had to be saved by keeping the commandments, he'd have to keep all 720 of them. Now, most of us don't even know all 12 or 10, 10 commandments, much less the whole 120. I'll get straightened out here in a minute. Most of us don't even know the 10, much less the 120 that he got on Mount Sinai, plus the other 600. Most of you didn't even know he got 720 altogether. Well, if you got to keep one, James says you got to keep them all. So here's Abraham, who was 500 years before they even got one of them, and he was saved. Now, how was he saved? He was saved by faith in what Jesus Christ is going to do for him. 500 years after Moses, we got another man, David, and the Bible says that David was saved by faith in Jesus Christ, too. So these men in the Old Testament were saved by faith, and you think you're saved by the law. When the law was not even given to the Gentile, it was only given to the Jew. And we'll see this when we get to the 9th chapter. We'll give you all the verses of Scripture there and give you the details about that the Mosaic law was never given to the Gentile. It was only given to Jewish people. Now, if you're a Jew and you're here this morning, then you're under the law. But the Gentiles were never under the law. God never intended that they be under the law. The law was never given for them. Well, as we said, that's another sermon altogether, and you'll have to wait till Romans 9 to get all the details. Now, I'm sorry, we can't preach everything in one Sunday morning, but we'll do our best to cover as much as we possibly can. Now, in the 9th verse, he's been talking about David in the 6th, 7th, and 8th verses there, where, remember, he was a guy who messed up. He really goofed on a lot of occasions. He committed adultery, murder, and several other things. And yet, he was the guy who knew the blessedness of God, to whom he would not impute sin, a charge of man's sin to him. Remember, we said that's the best beatitude in the whole Bible, is blessed is the man to whom God will not impute or charge to his account iniquity or sin. And then he said here in the 9th verse, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only. Now, the circumcision is a reference to the Jewish people, those who had been circumcised, those Jews who had been circumcised. And the word circumcision here is talking about a ritual. Now, we have lots of rituals in our church. Some churches have more than others. Now, we here at this church, we only have 2 rituals. We have baptism and the Lord's Supper. And let me say this to you right on the outset. You can be baptized every time we have a baptismal service, and it'll never wash away your sin. It'll never help you to be saved. And you can come here, and every first Sunday we have the communion. And you can take the communion at every service that we have it. Every from now to the day you die, and it'll never help you to be saved. And on the same token, if you belong to some other church and you're taking some other ritual or you're performing some other ritual, that'll never help you to be saved either. There is no ritual that has ever been in existence at any time, anywhere, that could ever help a man be saved and have forever life and go to heaven when he dies. Never. Now, circumcision was a ritual that they started in Abraham's day. He was the first person to ever be circumcised. Now, he was circumcised at least 17 years after he was saved, and the Bible says he was circumcised long after he was saved. In fact, if we had time this morning, we could show you from the Word of God how that he was saved down there of the Chaldees, and then at least 15 years later, he was circumcised. But he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I want you to see this these verses of Scripture this morning, and it says very distinctly and very plainly and very clearly that he was saved first by faith, and then later on he received circumcision. Now, look at the ninth verse again. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? The blessedness, what blessedness? All right, we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now, a man who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Abraham believed in Christ, so when you believe in Christ, then your faith, by your faith, God reckons or charges to your account his righteousness. And to ever get to heaven, if anybody ever makes it to heaven, you have got to be completely righteous. You've got to be completely just. You've got to be perfect, if you please. You have got to be absolutely perfect. You can't have one thing against you and still go to heaven. But we've all sinned in the past. Everybody has sinned. There aren't any who have not sinned at some time. Now, a couple of months ago, we had everybody to raise their hand who had never told a lie. Then we had everybody raise their hand who had never cheated or stolen anything. And we didn't have not one single hand in the whole congregation, including myself. We had a whole house full of liars and thieves, and we got the same thing this morning. Because every one of you that have lied at some time, you told some girl that she was pretty, she was ugly, or told some guy that you loved him and you didn't. You've cheated on tests, you've stolen. If you've never stolen a penny, you've stolen any time you've cheated on a test, you've stolen something. You stole an answer, wasn't yours. And that's enough to send you to hell. You know all Adam did to get out of fellowship with God and be on his way to hell? He just picked one piece of fruit and ate it. Just picked one piece of fruit and ate it. And the moment he ate that, he died. And if he had not been born again, if he had not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to come and die and pay for his sin, he would have gone to hell. Just by taking one piece of fruit and eating it. Taking one bite out of that piece of fruit. Now, it wasn't an apple. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't an apple. Now, does this come upon the circumcision or the uncircumcision? It says, For we say that faith was reckoned. You see, it's your faith in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham believed in Jehovah, Genesis 15:6. He believed in Jehovah, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now notice the 10th verse. How was it then reckoned? How was it then counted to him? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? When he believed in God, and it was, God says, okay, Abraham, you're righteous, even though you sinned in the past. And Abraham, you know, he grew up in the early Chaldees, and according to Joshua, the 24th chapter, all those people in the early Chaldees worshipped idols. They worshipped strange gods. In fact, his father, Terah, was an idolater. His father was not a Christian. His father was not saved. And here's a man, apparently he was probably along with his wife and one nephew were the only ones who had trusted Christ as their Savior down there in the early Chaldees. They were all alone. Everybody else worshipped some other kind of God. And every one of them died and they went to hell. But this one man and a couple other people who came out of the earth and went to a land, God says, I'm going to give you the world for your inheritance. The world. Why? Because he believed in Jehovah. He believed that God was going to send his son down to die and pay for his sins. He buried and rose again the third day. And it was merely by his faith in what Jesus Christ was going to do for him that he was saved. Now, was he saved as he was circumcised? Or was he circumcised and then God says, okay, you're righteous? Or was it he was righteous first and then circumcised later? I was baptized when I was 11 years old. If I'd have died from the time I was 11 till the time I was 19, I would have gone to hell. You know why? I never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. At 19, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I was 26 or 27 years old before I was baptized. Now, was I not saved until I was 26 or 27? No, I was saved on July the 15th when I was 19 years old, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that second. If I'd ever died after then, I'd have gone to heaven because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved, and then 7 years later, I was baptized. Abraham was saved, and 15 years later, he received circumcision, or 17 years later. Now, it says, was it reckoned to him when he was in circumcision or incircumcision? Not in circumcision. Not while he was, after he had done the ordinance or the ritual, but before he did the ritual, you see. Now, a lot of people think you've got to be baptized to be saved. There's a place for baptism. Some of you have trusted Jesus Christ, you're saved, and you've never been baptized. Well, you ought to be. You ought to be. Because God said so. Not because I say so. In fact, the Great Commission says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's salvation. That's receiving the righteousness of God. And then when you receive the righteousness, you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you teach them to observe all things. And here at Emmanuel, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to evangelize. We're trying to get people to come to know Christ as their Savior. That's the reason why we send buses out. Or a bus out, I should say. Every Sunday morning, trying to get people to come to our church. Not that we need to fill it up. We can fill up the early service. We still have room for about 150 there in case you're too crowded this morning. But we want people to come to know Christ as their Savior. After they trust Christ as their Savior, we want them to give their testimony. And that's what baptism is a testimony. It's a testimony. That's what Abraham did. Notice here in the 11th verse. He says, and he received the sign of circumcision. You see, the sign there means a testimony. Now, this is a different word for sign that we have in 1 Corinthians when it says the gifts are for signs and the signs that the Lord Jesus Christ did while he was here on the earth. This is a different word. This means a testimony. He received circumcision, a testimony of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had being yet uncircumcised. He was uncircumcised, and yet he became circumcised. Why? Because this was a sign. It was a seal. A seal has to do with authenticating. It's authenticating the thing that it's attached to. Now, back in those days when they had a document, they would put a seal on that, take some wax, and they would seal that thing too. And then they would take a ring, and they would put that seal, that ring on there, a stamp of that ring on there. And this sealed it. This authenticated. This means that some man had signed that piece of paper. Now, his circumcision was a seal. It was to authenticate what he had done. That he was cleansed. He had been cleansed from all his sins. Just like baptism. Authenticate. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to give the testimony that as Jesus Christ died on that cross, I died with him as he was buried. I was buried with him as he arose again. I have arisen again and I want to walk in a new life. And this new life, I want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm giving my testimony by ceremony. Now that's what baptism is all about. The word itself means to identify one thing with something else. And that's what a seal is. You authenticate something by identifying with it. And you ought to give your testimony. Just like Cynthia gave her testimony this morning in words. You can give your testimony too without saying a word. And that's what baptism is all about. Now, notice, It comes after salvation. He was saved first and then later he was circumcised. You are saved first and later you are baptized. And you are saved first and later you take the Lord's Supper. See? This is what ritual is for. It's to show forth what has happened to you. The Lord's Supper is what? That thing that is, I'm identifying not only with the death, burial, and resurrection, but I'm in fellowship with God and I want to serve Him and I want to do what He wants me to do. And you should never take the Lord's Supper if you're out of fellowship. If you're in rebellion against God in any way, if there's anything in your life when you say, well, God, I know you said it, but I'm not going to do it. Let me tell you something. If you take the Lord's Supper, you just better watch out because you're fixing to get sick. And you keep on taking it, then you're going to get, they're going to take you to the hospital. And you keep on doing it, then first thing you know, we're going to have your funeral out here somewhere in some cemetery. Now, if you don't believe that, you read 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. It makes it very plain there. This is what it's all about. Now, we can take our Christianity lightly if we want to. Abraham didn't. And I trust you don't take your Christianity lightly either. Sure, you can be saved. You can be saved merely by trusting Christ, death, burial, and resurrection to pay for your sins. And you can let it end there. But you'll be a pauper too. And life will not have much meaning and it won't have any purpose at all unless you're in fellowship with Him. Well, old Abraham gave the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness. It was authenticating the righteousness of faith, notice, which he had being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that what? Believe. Now, I get sick at my stomach every once in a while when I hear some preaching on the radio, because that's about the only ones I ever hear, because I'm usually preaching somewhere rather than listening. They get up and they say something about these preachers who believe in this easy believism. Who say all you have to do to get to heaven is just believe on God. Now, you can't just believe on God. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But they try to make light of this business of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say you have to do something else besides believing to be saved. The Bible says that all you have to do is believe. That's all that Abraham did to be saved. That's all that David did. That's all that Paul did. And that's all that I did. And if you have tried to do something else to be saved, remember the fourth chapter, the fifth verse. You're getting deeper in debt. The fourth verse. You're getting further and further and further away from salvation. If you're trying to do anything of yourself to be saved, all right. Notice, he is the father of them that believe, though they be not circumcised. Now, you see, there have been those who have not been circumcised. In fact, in the Old Testament, there were those who were not circumcised. In the book of Daniel, we have a king there who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was a Gentile king. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. You ever heard of him? Well, he wrote a little tract. He wrote his testimony out, and it's recorded in the book of Daniel. And he tells how he trusted Christ as his Savior. He never received circumcision. Was he saved? He's going to be in heaven just as big as Abraham, Paul, just as big as the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to sure be there. He was never circumcised. It says, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed, might charge to them also. See? Whether you're circumcised or not doesn't determine whether you go to heaven or not. Whether you're baptized or not doesn't determine whether you go to heaven or not. It just determines whether you're going to be happy on this earth or not. Happy in this life or not. That's the determining factor. And the 12th verse, and the father of the circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps. And the word steps, that means the pattern of that faith of our father. You see, Abraham set a pattern. The faith of our father Abraham, which he being yet uncircumcised, or while he was uncircumcised, you see, he was justified. And he set the pattern.
in the Old Testament. Notice the 13th verse, the promise that he should be the heir of the world. Notice, he became the heir of what? The world. In Genesis 12, 1 through 5, and also verse 12, it tells about this. We don't have time to go to turn there this morning, but the promise should be that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. Now, God didn't give a law to Abraham and says, okay, Abraham, here's a certain law, and you keep this law and you're going to become the heir of the world. No. The law came how long after? 500 years later. 500 years later, the law came along. So it wasn't by a law that Abraham received this promise. See? He received the promise before the law ever came along. Or to his... Now, he was the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You see what we get by faith in Jesus Christ? We get all the promises that he's given us. Now, if you want to try to get to heaven by your work, by what you have done, or by what you will do, then you cut yourself out of all the promises, and you put yourself under works and under the law, and you're going to have to keep it. Now, you remember what the law says, because the law is going to bring wrath. The law can only bring wrath. That's the 15th verse. Look at the 14th verse. For if, and let's assume for the moment that it's true, if they who are of the law be heirs. Now, we're assuming that the ones who have kept the law and those who are under the law, they are the ones who are heirs. Then faith is made void. Faith is canceled out, and you can't be saved by faith, or you can't receive the promise by faith. And the promise made of no effect. The promise that God had given Abraham is canceled out. It's done away with. It becomes inactive. Because the law worketh what? The 15th verse. The law can only work wrath. You see, the law can only condemn a man to the electric chair. The law can only kill a man. It can't bring him back to life. Now, suppose that our courts, we had court, and some guy was convinced or convicted of murder. And so they put him in the electric chair, and they threw the switch, and it killed him. And the next day, some guy came along, and he confessed to doing that crime. And so they checked it out, and sure enough, he was the one that did it, and so the guy they electrocuted. Now, can there be a law who can bring that man they electrocuted, can bring him back to life again? Huh? You can't legislate life. You can only legislate death. And there's no law that can give life. There's no law from God that can give life. It can only give death. The law worketh wrath. But where no law is, then there is no transgression. Now, transgression means to know the law and break it anyway. To know the law and break it anyway. Now, let me illustrate. Suppose that it's in the summertime out here. In the summertime, we have some... we got a beautiful lawn out here. We got some... real pretty grass. Old Jay Smith back there responsible for all that. But suppose that these kids out here, they just keep coming across our lawn out there, and they're cutting a path right through the middle of it. They just keep pounding it down because they cut through our lawn. And every time I go out there, it just sort of burns me up, you know. And I don't like that path in the middle of our yard out here in the front. And they just cut a rut there. Doesn't matter if it's dry, wet, they go right through there and they're ruining our grass. So I go out there and I stick a sign up, keep off the grass. And they keep coming. And they keep walking. And they keep pounding it down. Now you see, they are transgressors. The sign is there and yet they disobey the sign. Now that's a transgression. They were sinners before. They were doing wrong. They were cutting up the grass. But they didn't know it. Now they know, and so they become a transgressor. And there's a difference. There's a difference between willfully sinning and sinning in ignorance. Of course, both is wrong. Whether you know it or not, it's still wrong. But that's the difference. And so here they are. Before the law came, it worked wrath, but where there's no law, then there's no transgression. Therefore, it is our faith. Now, Abraham didn't have the law, even though he was sinful, and even though he was worshiping idols at first, you see, he still had to come and he had to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace, getting what we don't deserve, what we haven't earned. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And then we skip verse 17 through 22. And let's do that this morning as we're reading here. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, verse 17 through 21 is talking about the Christian life. And we'll take that up next Sunday morning. But notice he says here that Abraham was the father of us all, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What? His faith. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. It wasn't written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him. God just didn't say, all right, Abraham believed God, and when he believed it, and we gave him righteousness. But it was for who? Us also. And if you don't do anything else this morning, you ought to put a little circle around that little word us, because that includes you, friend. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. And the word if there actually isn't in there, and the word we should be ones, the ones believing. It should read, the ones believing on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. In other words, God imputes righteousness to the ones that believe on Jesus, that on God that raised up Jesus from the dead. When you believe on the God who raised up Jesus from the dead, see, it's talking about faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because you're dead in sin. Now, in the context, we're going to see here that Abraham's body was dead. He knew he was dead, sexually speaking, and he couldn't have children, but he believed in a God who could raise him from the dead. That's the reason why he could take little Isaac up on that mountain, Mount Moriah, which is where the same mountain that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on. And why he could put him on that altar, and he could take that knife up, and he could have stabbed his son and killed his son. Because he knew God had to raise him from the dead. And he knew God would raise him from the dead. Because he had already experienced the God who could raise a man from the dead. Because, see, he was too old to have children. God says, Abraham, you're going to have a child by Sarah. Sarah's too old to have children. We'll bring this out next Sunday morning. They knew they were. There was no doubt about it. But God revitalized them, and he brought them back from the dead, and they did have that child that God promised. And old Abraham said, if God can do that, God can do anything. And if I kill my son, he told me to kill my son. If I kill him, he's going to bring him back from the dead. Now, it wouldn't be so bad to die if he knew he was going to come back from the dead, would it? Would you mind dying? Why, you wouldn't mind going to war. You wouldn't mind going out here and fighting, because if a bullet hits you, then somebody's going to come along and raise them dead. Wouldn't make any difference, would it? Why, you would go up on all kind of high places, and it didn't matter if you fell off and broke your neck, and somebody's going to come along and raise you from the dead. Wouldn't make a difference. Well, friends, that's what kind of God we have. He's actually done that kind of thing. And Abraham knows he's that kind of God. And you know I know he's that kind of God. I know one of these days I'm going to die, but it don't make a difference. Doesn't make a bit of difference in the world, because I'm not going to stay dead. You think I'm gone completely off my rocker, but I'm not. I know what I'm talking about. And friend, I'm going to come back from the dead. And I'm going to live on this earth again. The Bible says so. No doubt about it. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear anything. Now, Abraham knew that. See? The 24th verse again, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed,
The ones believing on Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for, should read, because of. He was delivered because of our offenses. He went to the cross because of our offenses, our sins, our transgressions. And He was raised again because of our justification. Now, He died because of our sin, our transgressions. But He was raised again because we are justified. Now, what is He talking about? Well, you see, when He completed the job of paying for sin, He had to come back from the dead. The job was completed. It was all over with. And the reason why I know I am justified this morning is because the Lord Jesus Christ, after 3 days and three nights, He came back from the dead. Now, there have been lots of religious leaders in the world who said they were going to die for their people. And they have died. But none of them have come back from the dead. Only one man in all of history has ever come back from the dead, never to die again. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why salvation is in Him and Him alone. Because, you see, when we die, He's going to bring us back from the dead. These others can't bring themselves back from this. Some said they were going to come back from dead after 3 days, three nights. They didn't. Jesus said, you're going to destroy this body, this temple, and in 3 days I'm going to raise it up. Sure enough, right on time. Bam, bam, bam. 3 days, three nights. Zip, He came right back. He walked on the earth for 40 days and He ascended to heaven. He's up in a body right now in the third heaven. There's a man in outer space alive today. And He didn't have to get to the third heaven in a spaceship or a spacesuit. He went there in His own power, in a body. I'm talking about a human body. And if those poor old Russians could just get, you see, they hadn't even gotten out of the first heaven yet. And if they could just get to the third heaven, they could see Him up there and He'd scare them to death. They'd probably fall out in a dead faint, be dead for sure. They see that man sitting up there on the throne, and He's sitting up there right now. Now, you don't have to believe it, but that does not make it so. It's so. And one day it may be too late for you to believe it. When you're dead, it's all over. It's too late. But He's ascended. He's up there. He's right there right now. He's been sitting down for 2,000 years, and one of these days He's going to get up off of that throne, and He's going to come back to this earth. And if you haven't trusted Him as your Savior, Katie barred the door. That's all I've got to say. Now, if you want to learn more about that, be here tonight. We're talking about this on Sunday night now, about how what's going to happen between now and then, Him coming back to the earth. That's exactly what we're talking about. He died for our offenses. He was delivered because of our offenses. He was raised because of our justification. Now, what about this justification? I want you to turn with me to a couple of verses of Scripture to introduce our sermon for next Sunday morning. Look at Colossians, the second chapter, the second, sixth verse. Turn with me to Colossians 2:6. Colossians is right after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's on page 1287. If you don't have a Bible like mine, buy one. We'll help you find the page. Colossians, the second chapter, the sixth verse. Now notice, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now this word receive means you receive in a point of time, and that point of time, it's taken out of time and it's perpetuated forever. Now let me repeat. You receive Him in one point of time, and that's enough to do you for eternity. Now the same way you receive Jesus Christ, that's the way you what? Walk. Now this walk means you continuously walk. In other words, you receive Him one time, and then you walk continuously. Now how did you receive Him? If you received Him, you received Him on the principle of what? Faith. The same way you receive Him, that's the way you live. That's the way you walk. Walk means to live.
You've got to walk a walk of faith, trusting Him. Now, that's what we're going to look at this next Sunday morning in Romans, the 4th chapter, the 17th through the 21st verses. We're going to see a man who lived by faith, who continuously, day after day, lived by faith. The same way he was saved. You see, he had his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he lived a life of faith also. And it's not just enough to be saved. You've got to learn to live by faith if you're ever going to be happy. Now, that's the reason why most of you are so miserable in your life. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. You've been born again. You're saved. And when you die, you're going to heaven, and you know this. But on the inside, you're just all torn up, and you're all confused, and everything's hollow, and nothing really has meaning, and you try something, and it fails, and you try something else, and that fails, and you try something else, and just nothing works. And so you're just about ready to end it all and throw in the towel and quit. Well, you haven't learned to live by faith. And I'm not talking about faith in faith. This irritates me, to people to have faith in their faith. You've got to have faith in facts. And you've got to know facts. You've got to know facts before you can believe in them. But the problem with Christians, they don't have the facts. The problem with unsaved people today, so often, they do not have the facts. They do not have the facts of the Word of God. And unless you get the facts of this book, you're lost. You don't have a chance. And that's what we try to do here Sunday after Sunday, is give you the facts of what this book says. Let's bow here for prayer. When he died on the cross, he paid for the sins of the whole world. He just didn't pay for the sins of a select few. He died for everyone. In 1 John 2:2, he says he is the propitiation, which means the satisfactory payment. For our sins, and not ours only, but the sins of the whole world. And the storehouse is open to the whole world. Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. Now, how do we buy salvation? Isaiah says, without money and without price. Come and buy without money and without price. Now, how do you buy? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the famine was severe in the land of Egypt, and all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was so severe in all the land. Well,